dealing with mental illness is inherently challenging. Unlike other diseases, it's often impossible to even describe.
Yeah, I think if I were to describe it, just like being in a dream state and not feeling like anything's real. Whether I go through good things or bad things, the feelings of just like this darkness I still have. Yeah, I think that's how we would describe depression.
That's Denise Sugita, one of the estimated 57 million Americans who currently suffers from mental illness. Sugita is fourth-generation Japanese-American, and her experience is emblematic of the many issues Asian Americans face when it comes to mental health.
So I think with my family, so it's a lot of keeping things within the family. I think just reputation and not wanting to look bad to other people. So, but even when I was trying to get help with the psychologist and being on the antidepressants, I remember my mom in particular being really disappointed with that. And why can't we just try to fix it on our own? Why do we need to bring in like other people?
Sugita spoke with KALW's Erica Mu, who was awarded a California Endowment Health Journalism Fellowship to take a closer look at mental health from an Asian American perspective. She spent the past 6 months reporting on this topic, and she's here now to introduce her series called Asian American Mental Health, Inside Out. So Erica, before we hear your first story, can you tell us what it was like to take on such a big topic?
Well, I think that the real challenge with this reporting project, especially as a member of the Asian American community, is avoiding stereotypes. You know, the last thing I'd want to do is claim that there's a link between ethnicity and mental health. But, you know, what I've learned through all of my interviews and all of the research that I've done is that culture matters. And I spoke with someone, Joyce Chu. She's an associate professor at Palo Alto University. And I really think that she sums it up best.
Culture makes a difference. Culture makes a difference in the effectiveness of therapy. Culture makes a difference in how mental health is experienced, how it should be treated, how it's expressed. So there's no question that culture needs to be addressed when you are dealing with mental health treatment, prevention, and assessment.
So the purpose of your fellowship, Erica, follows what Professor Chu is saying there. But is there an Asian American culture? That's a pretty broad term.
Right, right. So, you know, the term Asian American refers to 50-plus very diverse subgroups. So when it comes to mental health, you know, approaching Asian Americans as one group is problematic. For example, if you look at the data for the group as a whole, Asian Americans actually look really healthy. You know, they register lower rates of depression and overall suicide, and they don't utilize treatment as much as other ethnic populations. But when you zoom in, it's clear that the data isn't reflecting the realities many sectors of this community face.
Can you give us an example of what you're talking about?
Sure, sure. So I spoke with local psychiatrist Fong Tui Lei. She practices in San Jose. And she told me not only does she have to take into account the fact that many of her patients are from Vietnam, but also what year they came to this country.
If the patient comes in 1975, the first wave of the Vietnamese refugee, I know that now they're very well adjusted. They're very successful. They already like a mainstream person. So I will understand what they're going through different than a person came arrived this country in 1980. If you're aware of the history, people come in to U.S. in 1980, between 1980 to 1990, are the people who like escaped by boat.
So the Asian American story is very much a story of immigration, even with its unique chapters. And Ben, the kind of cultural competency that Dr. Lei demonstrates is really hard to find in a provider. But even in the best of all cases, many Asian Americans are still either unaware of the resources available or struggling to access them. So to begin, I want to take you to Union City and introduce you to the Liu family from Taiwan, Albert, Anne, and their three kids.
That's my wife with three kids, two daughters and one son.
Albert Liu is flipping through photos of his children that he keeps in his wallet.
This is my elder daughter. She graduated from the college.
He pauses on a photo of his second daughter, who we'll call Jennifer.
This is my second daughter. She graduated from the high school.
Jennifer was born in Taiwan, and she seemed perfectly healthy.
We consider she is a very brilliant kid, you know, because my wife gave her the puzzle. She is a very concentrating, you know. She always can finish the puzzle, you know. She doesn't need any help from us, you know.
We saw that she's a happy girl.
But at around age 4, Albert and Anne noticed Jennifer would hit her baby brother for no reason and talk to herself. It didn't seem normal.
Probably later, maybe.
Later.
When she was 6.
Yeah, when she was 6 or 7. And finally, we think that it's more serious, it's getting bad. So I took her to see the doctor.
The doctor thought it wasn't serious. Around the same time, Albert found an engineering job in the U.S., so the family packed up and headed overseas. None of the children knew English, and that, combined with her behavioral differences, made Jennifer a target for bullies at school, Anne says.
After that, she closed her world.
Jennifer's school psychologist contacted Albert and Anne and said Jennifer was suffering from emotional problems and delusions.
Hallucination.
One time, you know, she said, you know, she saw some people came out of the wall, and sometimes we can see she's talking to herself, like talking to somebody, you know.
Albert and Anne had no idea what was going on with their daughter, and they didn't know how to help her.
Many Asian Americans are not getting it or not coming in for treatment.
Nolan Zing is the director of the Asian American Center on Disparities Research at UC Davis, the only national research center that focuses on the mental health issues of Asian Americans. Dr. Zane says that stigma might be one reason why Asian American families tend to wait much longer to access the mental health care system.
It's not surprising that once the ones that eventually get in have more problems and have more severe problems.
And those who end up in treatment?
They don't stay as long, and therefore they don't get the level of care that they should given their mental health problems. So even when a person clearly needs mental health treatment, they're not getting it.
Yeah, usually I believe, you know, that's pretty much like a Chinese cultural background, you know. So when the family people sees this problem, usually they try to hide it, you know, close it. They don't want to share it with others.
But Albert Liu didn't want to cover up or hide his daughter's illness.
But I personally feel this is nobody's fault. And sure, this is a problem. We have to open up, look at the problem, see whether we have a better solution for it.
Eventually, the Liu's were referred to a bilingual psychiatrist who diagnosed Jennifer as having childhood schizophrenia. Childhood schizophrenia is thought to be much more severe than when it appears in adults, and it's much more rare, affecting about 1 in 30 to 50,000 children ages 13 and under. The Liu's tried to raise Jennifer like a normal child. She even took piano lessons along with her older sister. But all along, she dealt with very severe mental health problems. In this recording, Jennifer's playing piano in a recital. But just a year before, she was hospitalized at the age of 14. She'd be hospitalized 2 more times before age 21. Throughout her teenage years and into her 20s, Jennifer took several medications to manage her condition. And even though the family was on a good insurance plan, many of her psychiatric visits weren't covered.
Especially for immigrants or other Asian Americans who don't have the financial resources to have insurance or to pay out of pocket, that is a serious barrier to access to care.
Clinical psychologist Joyce Chu from Palo Alto University says the barrier is more than just financial. There are also too few bilingual providers.
And in addition, I would go as far to say that it's not they're not situated in a way that they meet the ways in which Asian American individuals prefer to seek help.
But the Liu stuck with it. When Jennifer's third psychiatrist quit, Anne began calling 1-800 numbers in the Yellow Pages to find a new one. It took 3 months before the Oakland-based clinic, Asian Community Mental Health Services, accepted Jennifer as a patient. During my interview with Albert and Ann Liu, they get a call from their daughter, Jennifer.
No.
That's my daughter.
Oh.
Well, we are in a meeting. Yeah, we are in a meeting. 那我也不知道，但他不对，那你就那也没有什么要紧，你就 ignore 他就算了，对不对？就 stay away from the trouble, 对不对？就 stay away from them, 对不对？
So I'll call her later.
哦，等一下，那。
Today, Jennifer is 34 years old and still very dependent on her parents for support. Only last year did the Liu's figure out how to get Jennifer disability benefits and Medi-Cal coverage. They've had so much trouble navigating the system here that they founded a support group for other families like their own. In their monthly meetings, they exchange information in Mandarin and Cantonese.
Other newcomers, quite a number of them, they don't even speak English at all. You know, still, it's sometimes I don't quite 100% catch everything. Still, even today, you know, after being here for more than 20 years. And also, sometimes through talking, you know, that's a big pressure relief.
So that's why we would like to share this information with other family.
We try to help others, you know, what I feel. If we can do something to make the whole community better, we'll do it, you know.
These days, Albert and Anne don't hope for a cure. They just hope that they can make sure Jennifer's in a safe place when they pass on. Anne is teaching Jennifer how to make fish patties and chicken nuggets. Albert is campaigning to get paid work for Jennifer and others like her.
I hope one day she can live by herself and doing some things for her. Even it's not a really she can do a lot, but it still could make her happy. Yeah, I know it's hard to tell her, you know, how we love her, but we just do it. I just like I told her, I say, I do anything that's under the guard. God would see what I did for you. That's what I think.
That's the story of Albert and Ann Liu, as reported by KALW's Erica Mu. I'm Ben Trefney, and you're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. Erica is here with us to talk a bit more about her reporting. Erica, that's a truly heartbreaking story. Is it a typical one?
Not really. You know, Albert and Anne are well-educated. Albert has a PhD, Anne has a master's. They both speak English fairly well. And around the time that they immigrated here, Albert had a good job and pretty good insurance. But most importantly, as you heard in the story, the Liu's really sought help, and even when they didn't know where to look.
So if they're not so typical, why did you choose to tell their story?
Well, precisely because they were more open to dealing with mental illness. They were more open to talking about it with me. You know, I actually had a lot of difficulty finding people who would talk with me about their personal experience on tape. Earlier this year, I'd been in touch with one young Chinese-American man. He'd been diagnosed with having bipolar disorder. He even won an award and a scholarship in recognition of his battle with his mental illness. So when I asked him to share his story on tape, he originally agreed but then retracted because he consulted his family and they still don't want him to share his story. So yes, the Liu's are an anomaly, but what they illustrate is that even when you have the best case scenario in terms of language, education, and willingness to seek care, you can still struggle to get treatment when you're not familiar with the system here.
Well, we're going to look forward to hearing more, Erica. Can you tell us what to expect in the next story?
Sure. So in a couple weeks, we'll hear about an alarming trend in Asian American women.
When I was 19 and was thinking of committing suicide, and I made a few attempts, I never told anyone. I'm someone who really don't feel like I have a support for family or culture or country or anyone. So I really feel on my own.
We're going to explore depression and suicide rates in Asian American women and also alternate ways of delivering treatment.
That's coming up on Monday, May 21st on Cross Currents. Thank you, Erica.
Thanks, Ben.